With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Naomi McLeod.
Hello.
And of Trent Guitars, Elliot Trent.
Hello.
Hello, indeed. Hello, Elliot. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast for your first ever joining us on the podcast episode.
Yeah, I haven't done any podcast before either, which is first for me.
Fresh meat. Well, yes, it's good. It's lovely to have you on because I'm really enjoying having kind of a lot of this side of the pond luthiers and pedal builders and things. Well, I'm representing the market that we have over here of wonderful guitar builders as well as, you know, great effects manufacturers. Not enough amp builders. I don't think I get enough amp builders on here. I need to speak to like James Hampstead and get Hampstead amps on.
Yeah, and you got Rift as well.
Oh, yep, yeah, they're also good. Rajani amps are another fantastic amp brand. I think they only do like a head and a combo. And like Matt's got one, he loves them, and we've been meaning to get him on an episode. We really need to because they don't do a lot of stuff, but what they do is fantastic and original and really good.
They tend to be really interesting people because they've got like the whole electrical engineering kind of background.
Oh yes, exactly. It's never anything that I don't have any real idea about how it affects pedals or guitars work either, but I absolutely have no idea how amps work. That seems far too much for me. But I am convinced now. You know, I went through this whole digital thing over the last year. I think lockdown did something funny to my brain. I was like, you know, bang into, you know, anything lightweight, Class D, making things portable. I was trying to get my band down to like the minimal amount of gear that we could possibly bring, and all of it being lightweight and modular and stuff like that. Now, sod that. I only care about
totally the other way.
Absolutely the other way. I only care about valve things and solid state things. Like, it has to be big and heavy and sound good. Set where it doesn't have to be big or heavy. It just has to sound good. That's the number one thing. I no longer care about all the other things.
It's an interesting turnaround. You've gone from fashion back to function.
Exactly.
Was it the idea that you could fit it all in one backpack? Was that it?
What, generally of lightweight stuff, you mean? Or do you mean specifically Joe Branton's gear backpack?
Well, no, that would never work, would it?
No. Yeah, I think I was going through a big... I think we were we'd gone up to a five-piece as a band. Our sax player brings like a baritone sax and a tenor sax. Our keys player's got like three keyboards and his own pedal board. Our sax player has his own pedal board. Our guitarist is using two amplifiers and has a big old pedal board. And, you know, it was just a lot of gear to get in the van. And I was like, I want everything to be comfortable and lightweight and streamlined. Also, I moved far away from a train station and there are like no taxis in my village, so it was difficult to get stuff there. But now I don't care. now heavyweight stuff is the only thing that's important to me. Anyway, all that aside, dear listener, if you're not aware of what Elliot does and of Trent Guitars, where have you been? Well, I'm sure you do know. I'm sure everyone knows about Trent Guitars. You've had a pretty stonking couple of years. Like, you got a guitar, guitar.com gave you like a 2021 Gear of the Year nomination, which is, that's massive. They are awesome and huge and have great taste. And I think they gave you Editor's Choice as well, which is...
Yeah, no, that was a big surprise because... Obviously, starting from, like, I've only been around for just over a year. It's not even a couple of years.
And, what?
Yeah. And yeah, I launched the Model 1 in May in 2021.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You are really new.
I know.
And sorry, I don't mean that in a...
I mean that in an
entirely complimentary way. That's some amazing hustle for such a short period of time since you've landed, as it were.
Yeah, it's been quite a surprise. I think I've had a lot of advice from people who have been doing it a long time, and then also people, because obviously it's a brand new industry for me. People who understand it to a degree where they can tell me, you know, maybe who might be worth talking to or getting introductions to certain people like guitar or like you guys, like the other people who I've had, you know, on a pass around with a guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. It must have been a super early model that you sent to us, because you sent us a Model 1, which we spoke about last year, which I guess I never realized how close that was to the launch of your brand.
Yeah, that was probably, so I think I sent it to you probably in August, I think. And so that would have been probably like guitar 8 or 9. Like, it was a pretty early one, definitely. Obviously, I made about 20 of them before I even released them, but
of course.
And 20 subsequently that now don't exist from being either burnt or tried for different things. But that one was relatively early, and it's remains the most popular option, basically, is the open port with the hardtail that you guys had.
Really? Yeah, that was the Model 1, which is for listeners who aren't aware, this, it's a kind of an offset. It's very much in line with this the sort of modern vintage look that we're seeing getting popularized more these days, but it's very much its own shape. You couldn't quite call it a Jaguar. It's kind of its own thing, but cool sort of asymmetrical scratch plate, almost Tele style control plate, and
Sorry to interrupt you. It's weird, because when I was designing it, it didn't have the control plate to begin with. I have to show you some pictures of the early designs at some point. But it didn't have the control plate. It was like a one-piece control plate, a one-piece scratch plate with the controls on it, like you'd see on a Jazzmaster. And I got to the stage where I ended up then using a control plate off the 51 P bass, which is, it's straight from that.
And, amazing.
Obviously in a different direction. And it's now most commonly compared with the is it a Telemaster, what they would call it? So or an offset telly, where it's like a Jazzmaster body with a telly controls. And so it's still relatively, it has that familiarity because of where the controls are, basically.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. But that model, that was like your TV yellow sort of butterscotchy open pore finish. And it didn't that guitar that we got first, that's ended up with your brand ambassador, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, with Hannah. Yeah. I'd spoke, Hannah's a musician in Manchester, and she got in touch early on just to show support, basically. And then I saw that she had this really cool, I think she has like a 74 Mustang that she'd picked up that I absolutely love. Because it's in like that, it's not like Torino red. I can't remember what it is. It's one of the Fender reds from the 70s. And
is it Dakota?
It might. I hope it's Dakota because that's lovely. Might as well that one Mac DeMarco had. But yeah, I basically said I would send it to her for her to try out after it had gone around a few of the more marketing focused influencers. So people who are there to, like, you know, content for content, if that makes sense. But
sure, yeah.
The dream as a guitar maker is to have instruments with people who make music and who regularly perform with them. And that's why I wanted it to end up with Hannah. And because she, you know, she's grinding through the gigging scene, and so it ended up with her, and then I basically was just so she could keep it. So she's gigged it more than, but maybe not more than Steve Harris, who played his one with Gary Newman all over North America, but she and England, but she's definitely played it more than any home gamer. So it's really nice to get feedback from her I love it that it ended up with her.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a wonderful thing to do, actually, to aim to get your guitar to a musician rather than, you know, sort of an influencer that's going to be inundated with other things as well. It's a great way to actually get real world, almost real life marketing rather than stuff that's promotional. Actually, someone just, you know, grinding away, like using that guitar on the gigging scene where people are going to notice it and be like, oh, where, you know, what's this? Where'd you get that? So recently, Guitar Nerd switched to using Lewitt microphones, specifically the LCT-440 Pure condenser mic. Now, this mic is super affordable and very versatile. In fact, there are a bunch of videos from independent studio engineers with way more audio know-how than me comparing the LCT-440 to mics three times its value, and it absolutely holding up. Plus, this mic is as good for instrument capture as it is podcasting, as it is vocals, which is great because I don't like messing around with mics, and I can literally use this for everything. Proof's in the pudding, though, so here's the old condenser mic that I used for Guitar Nerd's podcasting with completely unedited audio. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, and you are listening to a demo of the previous microphone that we used to record the podcast. And this is the Lewitt without any mastering or compression, which is how you're hearing it now. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, and you are listening to a demo of the Lewitt LCT-440 Pure. Considering those two mics cost roughly the same price, I think it's pretty evident that if you're doing anything in a simple home studio format, recording vocals, acoustic, brass, podcasting, then the Lewitt 440 Pure is an absolutely fantastic all-in-one solution at a very reasonable price. Now back to the podcast.
So yeah, she's had a lot of people come up to her after gigs and they think it's a Tysco rather than a modern guitar. So that's always quite fun when people think it's just like some random exotic one-off.
that's cool though. I mean, I think of these as being a bit more of a crossbred. Like they're a bit more, there's something modern about these as well. They're not actually just sort of traditional looking guitars, but that might be a lot of that's probably in the feel because you've got that kind of that lovely satin neck and everything obviously works, which is always a plus.
Appreciative of everything that's come before. So whether that, obviously the main influence that you really can never get away from with a guitar like that looks like the ones I make is Fender, clearly. But then a lot of the original drafting where I was drawing the shape, you had obviously, well, not obviously, sorry, you had things like the Music Man Mariposa and the Albert Lee. And then
there's definitely something very Albert Lee about the top horns.
Yeah, the horns are very much borrowed from that, where the horns are almost straight rather than rounded. And then, but then I also love the slabness that you get from a telly. Like, I'm not hugely into massively contoured bodies.
There is some contouring on these, but softening of the edges.
Yeah, so mine, I call it a pebble carve. It's just a stupid name I came up with.
Ooh, for it. That's a nice term for it.
So it's round towards the back. It tapers from you know, something like around like a 6 mil radius around the front, and then it goes to a much flatter. So it almost looks like a smooth pebble around the rear bout, essentially, or the lower bout.
Appropriate name.
Yeah, so it looks like a polished pebble, like when it was all glossed up, and I'd get pictures of it lying on its side. I haven't had any complaints about comfort or anything. So it's definitely something that works, like, in a sense that you don't need a guitar to be heavily contoured, I would say, unless it's something that you really love in a, you know, you know, some people love a belly cut, or some people say, oh, it just makes the fretboard point upwards. Like, it's all personal preference.
Yeah, of course. Are there any things that are like user feedback that have resulted in you changing anything about the Model 1?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a big one that I was, that kind of just was reflected in my inexperience with what people like. So it was on the review that Richard from Richard Purvis from guitar.com did of the guitar. He commented on that my rounding of the fingerboards and the fret ends was conservative. So essentially I was worried that I'd take off too much real estate off the angle of the frets on the edges, and also that I didn't want the fretboard to be so round that people would say it was overkill. However, it became clear, so one customer said, oh, I love it, but like, if the fret ends were rounded just a little bit more. And I was, okay, cool, okay, right. Someone said it. And then another customer said it, and then it said it in the review, and I was like, okay, fine. And you'll probably notice on the bass that you have at the moment, you know, I really send ages on the fret edges and the fretboard
the
now.
The frets look exceptional. They look like they've taken a lot of time.
Yeah, so it's semi-hemi, which is just a phrase that guitar builders use sometimes. So it's just semi-hemispherical. So it means the instead. So on a factory guitar, you'd have a typical bevel, and then they'd run sandpaper around a finger to ease the sides of the bevel. Whereas semi-hemi or hemispherical, you take a fret end file and you round it so the fret end is actually round.
I see.
And then the fret board itself is to make it, because basically companies like Novo and McMull and Matt at Fidelity are known again for having extremely rounded fretboards. When I say extreme, I just mean extreme compared with what we're used to. And it feels amazing, so I do it on all of them now. So it's just there with a razor, scraper, rounding it after the frets are installed. You can't do it before they're installed, because otherwise you end up with a bevel underneath the fret, which you need to be little mounds, you know, like how you'd see on the nubs on a Gibson with binding, but obviously without that. So you have to do it with a razor and then go in and finally sand it to you know, a smooth finish. So
this sounds like it will take forever. I could never do this job. I would get bored far too quickly. That sounds like a lot of time. I don't like spending a lot of time doing anything.
It's the main difference. If somebody says to you, what's the difference between a factory guitar and either a guitar that's then gone to a really good tech or a luthier. So you get a guitar from a factory and give it to a tech and they'll do your fret ends. That's the difference between straight from factory and small run, custom made, basically. Or not custom made, like small run, one person or two person made.
That's kind of a thing to talk about your guitars, because whilst this is, you are, you know, a one man luthier and it is a custom shop, you're, I guess, one of those luthiers that has set things. So, you're, like the Model 1, you know, if I read straight off your website, the Model 1 comes in 8 stock colours, from wafer pink to crowbar red. But you do also do custom colours.
See, that's what's funny, because I think 50% of them have been custom colours. Like, you have to just look at my Instagram. So yeah. What happens is somebody will say, they'll either show me a guitar they like, or they'll tell me a colour they like. And like, for example, with Jessica Dobson of Deep Sea Diver, when I made hers, she showed me a picture of her mum's car, this beautiful Mercedes from the 80s. And essentially, luckily I have a background a long time ago in a bit of digital work. So I'm able to open Photoshop and swatch through different color matches. So I can literally, I provide the customer with like a three swatch, like match, and they'll basically pick the one that speaks to them, and then I'll paint it in that color. But 8 colors on first inspection. But yeah, go on my Instagram, you'd see barely any of those half the time. It's usually they're all bream yellow
There are more variants of blue on your Instagram than anything else. It's like it's the only color people ask them for.
I'm sure
there's been pinks, there's burgundy mix, there's been a couple of different types of pinks on there, but blue, like there looks like Pelhams, maybe some Daphnes, ocean turquoise, and there's ocean turquoise in glitter finish as well as in like an open pour, like.
The blue has been huge. Like the Benz blue, which is the Sonic blue, is particularly popular. Where I'm just getting through to the because I'm just starting to get through to some shop orders. A lot of Benz blue and a lot of bream yellow gets ordered because they can see that, you know, it's a popular color. Because if you're a shop and you're trying to work out what you want to sell, you can kind of go through the maker's Instagram and see what's getting the most love, basically.
Isotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on isotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 Native Instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from Isotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using Isotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on isotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the Isotope arsenal. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess as a store as well, you're going to have to try to go with the sort of safer bet colours, aren't you?
100%.
Far out ones.
Yeah. And I'll tell them, you know, I've given them ideas of what sells, just to be a good person, in the sense that I want them to be able to sell my guitars, you know. So it's you never want to be like, James, oh yeah, go for this and the other.
No, sure. James is home of tone, a friend of the podcast, wonderful man.
Legend.
He went for like a, he is. He really is. He went for like a lipstick pink on the one that he's got. Is that right?
Which one? The no, that was a demo he had, that he took to the guitar show for me.
Right. Okay, that's fine. That's better, because if he was buying in, you know, a guitar and choosing a colour, I'd be like, lipstick pink is you're going out on a limb
ordered,
there.
Yeah, he's ordered a few, and I won't tell you what they are. I'll let that be a surprise.
Okay. I'll look forward to that.
I'll give you a clue. They've all got McNellys in them, I think.
And really? Oh, and that's beautiful. Exciting.
Yeah, he makes stunning pickups. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that they're so good. The problem with McNelly pickups for me is that they're not from here. They're Canada, US pickups, Canada pickups. Sorry. Canada? Oops, whoops. I think you're right. Yeah, they are Canadian.
Let's just say North America. That'd be good.
Yeah, that part of the world. And I really want to. There are so many great pickup manufacturers over here. It's an area that we seem to be doing really well in, and I really want to support them. And also, McNelly's are expensive in comparison. Not necessarily because they're a load more money, but more because I don't know them.
Yeah,
and I know lots of the pickup manufacturers, and they do me good deals. But the two things that I've got with McNelly's in, I'm just like, ugh. These are so good. They're remarkably fantastic. So I'll be very excited to see a partnership there. Because on your guitars, it's bare knuckles a lot. It's old guards, isn't it?
I wind them now, believe it or not.
Ah, you've switched up. I knew you had with the bass that I've got, which we'll talk about later, dear listener. I didn't know you'd moved over on the guitars. What motivated that?
It's an old thing in me. I have... One of the reasons I make guitars is I have this urge, instead of buying things, to make it myself. So I just one day was like, well, you know, I make furniture. Like, I've made furniture for several years. Like, furniture's made out of wood. I can make a guitar. So that started that. But then with the pickups... It was partly that, but to be honest with you, it was mostly a case of no shade to bare knuckle. They were incredible. They're an incredible supplier. They've been wonderful to deal with. Their customer service is the best, I think, out of any company I've dealt with. And they've been amazing. But there's something about having everything in house that is really attractive, because you are in control of everything. So say there's a weekend, it comes up to a weekend, and all my fellow self-employed friends will know that you don't have weekends. So you've got work to do on the weekend, and you realize you haven't ordered the pickups. But if I have the flat work here, if I have the wire here, if I have everything else I need, I can make the pickup, and I can get it done. And what started off as a practicality became something I absolutely fell in love with. It's the coolest thing, like being able to mess with it. And I had some amazing mentorship over Instagram from a guy who runs the company Righteous Pickups, Joshua.
He
makes incredible pickups, and the reason I got in touch with him is because one of my customers, who now also has ordered some for stock as a dealer in Canada, called Cam Jansen, he had some of his Jaguar pickups in his Model 1, and they were just like nothing else. And
do I remember this? Have you done many with Jaguar pickups? I think I remember seeing one.
I've done a few, but I've done a few. But yes, Jaguar pickups is a great option. They sound great. So I reached out to Joshua and said, I reached out to Joshua and said, what do you think it would take for me to start winding my own pickups? Like, could I wind P90s? And he did exactly what I would say to somebody, which made me so happy, was, of course you can. Like, you definitely can. Like, I would tell anyone, like, oh, can I build my own guitar? You can. It'll be hard, but you can. You totally can. But essentially, he gave me all the building blocks I needed to get going, told me, you know, what what constitutes a good pickup, you know, about tension, about wind count, about, you know, spacing on the bobbin and magnet choice and things like that. And then what was crazy, the biggest difference that made to the sound of everything was like down to the 10 seconds of how long you wax pot it for. So for those who don't know, wax potting is when you place a completed pickup in a bath of wax and the wax goes into all your windings and everything. It does a basic job of sealing the pickup together. So it, which is great. It just makes it like a solid unit, but more importantly, it adds a level of insulation. So you get less, you won't have as much feedback. They'll become less microphonic essentially. So it's an important part of making a pickup potentially less noisy. But anyway, the biggest difference to the sound was the duration that you potted it for. So I had sound clips on my computer of 30 seconds versus a minute versus 2 minutes. And the sound was just like night and day. Like I couldn't believe it. And it was the same pickup that I was using.
Wow.
And yeah, that was the main thing. But anyway, yeah. So it started off as just a weird personality trait I have. Then it became a practicality and then it became something I absolutely love doing. And I'll wind most pickups now. So like with the bass, again, Josh helped me start with the bass and we tried it out. I tried out a few things and that has a lot of wire on it. I think it has a lot of wire on it. Like you can imagine pickup wire. You know when they tell you in school that if you laid out all your veins or whatever, it would stretch around the world or whatever.
What sort of a dark Hellraiser school did you go to?
That sounds like a cool school. Wish I'd gone.
But like if you run out all this wire, it's an incredible distance. And it's all just
right.
In this.
What are we talking? Are we talking meters and meters?
Yeah, like kilometers, I think. But
no. Wow. Holy wow.
I bet it looks more in a Mustang pickup as well because you've got a
well,
really
the coil
sort of
is tiny.
Pack it in there. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the funny thing with the Mustang one is because my winder doesn't have a holder to hold bobbins that small. So I was double sided sticking them onto the platen, which is where the pickup mounts. And every like 3,000 winds, the thing would fly off and start bouncing around the room. I have to start again.
Oh, that sounds awful and tragic.
But luckily, I've modified it now.
I see. What are you going to do with pickups moving forward then? Are they going to be like a completely custom thing that's uniquely offered to each guitar? Or are you going to do the same thing as you have with essentially, I guess, your 8-stop colours and have,
so,
you know.
Yeah, with the P90s, I had Adrian Woodward from Anyone Can Play Guitar who did an amazing review for me around the same time as the Guitar Magazine. So it those two together, it just, I sold an enormous amount of guitars. too much. but I'm getting there now. But he did a sound test for me. And essentially, my pickups are based on the Old Guard pickups, the pickups I was using, right, because I liked the voicing of them. Mm-hmm. And essentially, because he's done a demo with both of them, he didn't do them A and B them. I could probably, if I spent the time, I could A and B them, but I could A B them in like a video. But I essentially my pickups, they have a sound that's reminiscent of them because it's the same magnets, but there's different recipes to it, like bobbin width and things like that. They change the sound because you obviously, I don't mean to say obviously, you have, people think that Jazzmaster pickups are P90s when they're not. They're more like a squished strap pickup. Right. So they're really thin, they're a really thin bobbin, and then a P90 is a taller bobbin essentially. And everything that contributes, all these little changes do contribute to the sound. And so that's why there is obviously, that's why you can't really match another maker's pickup exactly. Because there's all this magic that people spend a long time developing and they deserve to to have, you know, their own voice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That said, I think it's really beautiful, the sort of mentorship that you're speaking of that goes on sort of between builders.
That's everything for me. It's
not always easy for someone who's really proud of their craft to go, you know what, I feel I'd like to share some of my secrets, not all, with other makers and kind of help them reach their goals and their sort of potential within
Definitely.
Their art. And I think that's really wonderful.
Yeah, if I could promote anyone, it would be or like in on this platform, it would be Josh, the Righteous Pickups. He deserves all the pickup sales he can get.
Yeah, fantastic. That's very cool.
Do you, sorry, Joe.
No, go for it.
Do you see yourself potentially in future listing your pickups as standalones? Or as swap-ins, maybe, for customers who already have guitars?
I think I would reserve them for customers who have them.
Yeah.
And the nice thing when you are just a small company or a one person like I am, a lot of people don't realize that, but there is just me. You do develop these relationships with your customers. And if somebody, you know, said to me, like, I love the sound of your pickups. I really want them in, you know, my Les Paul Junior or one of them, in my Les Paul Junior. I'd make them one. Like, yeah, but I don't think I list them standalone.
But it won't be a full push. Yeah,
because so many people do an excellent job of them, and it's funny. The more and more you bring in house, obviously, the more you realise that your labour goes up, and then I'll get to a stage where I've got three bodies and three necks sprayed up and finished, and then I've got three sets of pickups to wind. So it's, yeah. And sometimes you're just not in the mood to deal with wire that's like finer than human hair. And because you got to solder the leads up and you're just like, nah, just not today.
What made you choose P90s? Because they are the, you know, like that's what you offer, isn't it? I mean, you can do any
pickups. I have done them in everything. Shop. Yeah. But P90s, I chose P90s. So I say this to people. When they ask me what pickup you want, I say, I've made this guitar now. Like somehow I've made like 40 of them by now since last year. And I've made them with so many combinations because I was obviously willing to do it. And I'm happy to do it because I think one thing I will say without sounding arrogant is it looks great with every kind of pickup. Like it seems to work with every.
Sure, I mean that's one of the things I think that's made Trent your guitar company successful as a in terms of being a luthier based guitar is it's quite I'll use the wrong word and I mean this very positively, it's quite general.
It's like very, as in yeah. you've it's blank slate you've not, yeah.
exactly you've not lent too hard into any one thing. I think people can appreciate it from different angles. Whether you're a modern guitarist, I think it has enough of that sort of modern-y music man vibe to yes. be appealing. Mm-hmm. If you're traditional, then it's got enough of that, you know, as we said, that sort of that Tysco-y, you know, weird vintageness
yes.
to it.
No, I was just going to say the word that comes to mind for me is concise. That was the first thing I thought on seeing your designs, Elliot. Was it just takes just the right amount from many corners and eras of guitar.
No, I really appreciate that. That's
overall.
Really kind. Yeah. It's
what fretboard radius do you go? I know that's totally randomly off where we're at the moment, but I realize I have no idea.
It can be 7.25, 9.5, or 12. And I have done.
Oh right, you did.
I have done a compound in just where somebody asked for it. So,
ugh, compound.
Ugh. It's a lot
I can't
more.
Get, I can't.
Yeah. Matt does it on all of his, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know. I just can't get it. It feels a bit like if you require a compound radius, it's like you're saying that you can't do the thing on a 9.5. Like, it feels a bit workman blamey tools thing to me. I know I'm wrong, by the way. I know I'm just bitching here, but that for me, yeah, compared, it's just a step too far.
It can be frustrating to make, just because you can't use a standard radius block to level it off. So
right.
When you make a guitar, you'll radius it, whether that be by hand with a plane or with a block, or like I do with my CNC. And then but obviously you get quite but you get tool marks from the CNC. So you have to run a sanding block over to smooth it out. So if you can't, there's no such thing as a compound radius sanding block. So you have to successively work through different blocks, and then with the fret wire, you then have to radius it differently.
It sounds horrendously time consuming. I don't know how you've made 40.
I have a very understanding girlfriend.
Now there's something else about these about your guitars which you've put kind of front and center of Trent Guitars, and it's that you designed them to be, as you put it, one of the cleanest guitars on the market, in that you've gone a long way to make sure you're not using any, you know, bad chemicals or solvents or polyurethane or anything like that. What made you arrive at that, and how did you manage to do that?
it was difficult to begin with, because there's certain limitations to water-based finishes.
Exactly. Like it's easy enough to, because you don't use hide glue, which of course makes the guitars vegan. But loads of people have dropped hide glue now.
Yeah,
like
it's only to be honest,
it's only Gibson sort of.
Yeah, the vegan thing was something I mentioned as a bit of a tongue in cheek thing to my good friend who Nathan Sharp, who wrote the copy for me. And
right, I see.
And yeah,
and he made it front and center.
Yeah, well, you know what these coffee guys are like. You guys have dealt with them before. But
oh, mate, it was my job for a long while.
I know how to do flowery writing. Guys.
He liked the fluff and So that's what that came from. But the idea is so, coming from my background, you know, I spent nearly a decade making custom furniture. So with that, there was no way you could, because if you're doing like a, you know, custom cabinetry and then you're doing a paint finish on the doors, which is where I learned to paint, which gave me a huge head start with guitars. But you would never be able to use a solvent-based product, because the way that job works, it's really high pressure. And you're dealing with people who are not the easiest to deal with, because they have a lot of money and they you know what it's like. And so you're always spraying the doors like a few days before you're going to install it. So there's no, because you're so busy, and there's no time for it to off gas and not stink. So early on, you learn how to get a really good water-based finish. So essentially, and that's always sprayed in like a satin. So I could do the open pore satin from day one. That I can do that with my eyes closed. That was no challenge, because satin finishes are straight out. You spray them just a bit of inside baseball, as Americans say. You literally just shoot it onto the product, onto the door or the guitar body, and the sheen is just already there. Like, you don't have to polish or anything. But the challenge early on was getting the high gloss out of a water based that people expect from a guitar, because we're very much, as you especially, Joe, you see a lot of guitars, and you'll know. Sorry, now that sounded wrong. I didn't want to separate Joe out. you guys see a lot of guitar. Yeah, that sounded really wrong. I was trying to imply that Joe's a gear addict and you're not, Naomi, but then I realized it just made me sound like you don't know anything about guitars, and that's just stupid.
Oh,
but,
I'm a gear addict. Don't you worry.
But anyway, Joe gets through a lot of guitars, that's my point. But anyway, so you see these guitars coming out of factories, and they're like, you know, they're curtain sprayed, they're sprayed by like a machine, or they're gunked in this really thick but very high performance finish, in mm-hmm. so much so that they can spray it on and they can basically do nothing to it and it will look perfect because it's super high tech, it's full of these amazing resins, solvents, chemicals, this, that, and the other. So the first thing out the gate that was really hard to compete with was how incredibly well finished things like Classic Vibes are. And
yeah. Sure. Yeah. Is that the polyurethane finish?
Yes. Yeah. So polyurethane or polyester. Yeah. So it's the much of a muchness. It's a two part resin and solvent mm-hmm. kind of blend. And so what that is it has incredible what you call in the paint industry self leveling properties. So you spray it on and it flows out. You don't have to do anything to it.
It's quite hard to gain inconsistencies.
It's just perfect. It's incredible. And hats off to them. The import instruments are incredibly well finished, in my opinion. Like the body finishes, like the sparkle finishes you see coming out of some factories, and so trying to get a gloss finish that had that like flatness that they have. Because they're able to like blast this paint on, or this lacquer or whatever. No, sorry, it's not lacquer, but blast this product on, and it gives this perfectly flat, perfectly gloss, so gloss finish. So I'm there trying to do the same thing, but not trying to put on loads of coats, and not trying to. And with water based, you have to sand between each coat because the solvent doesn't bind to the previous coat. So you have to almost be delicate with the body, and you get to the last coat and you realized, oh, there's a blemish in it, or there's this, that, and the other in it. So getting past that was difficult. And
oh my, how many God. Coats might you be looking at in a single body?
So you want to keep it low, because the more coats you have, obviously, just move my seat. You don't want to put too many coats on, because you end up with... you just end up with a lot of finish on it, and that's not good for anyone, really, because everyone loves a thin finish. That is like the buzzword of the moment, like close to the wood, kind of blah 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 blah. So that was
people want to make their own damage to the guitar, don't definitely. They? And a thin finish allows that.
Definitely. So I got to the stage. I can get a beautiful gloss, a mirror gloss, but it will have undulations, imperfections, this, yeah, that's just the nature of the beast. When you want to be doing water base, nothing too heavy going, this and the other. But the huge break for me was changing over to Abici, which is the body wood from Poplar, and doing the open pour. Like 90% of the guitars that I sell are the people just love the open pour finish. It's just it feels like
it's
wood.
Very good.
Like it still feels like the wood. Right? It doesn't feel like a coating, but
I think the finish is. Yeah, I think the finish is one of the big things, I think, for Trent. Like, they're very well finished. The open pour especially is excellent. The fact that you've got that amount of grain coming through, and I always called it a betch. Obviously, I've been pronouncing it wrong for years now. But Abici is a fantastic-looking wood. Like, the pores just really lend themselves to a satin-coloured finish like that. So, yeah.
It's been immensely popular. And it is like maple is. Like, again, a lot of the time I've realised I'm talking, like, to any other things other builders would find interesting. But like maple is, it's... one of the ultimate tone woods, I think, like the ultimate guitar woods. Like, I'm not hugely into the tone wood thing, but a really good wood to make guitars with.
We were talking the other day, Elliot, and you explained something to me that I'd never even realised before, the limitations of baked, torrefied, roasted maple, and why you actually don't use it. The fact that it makes it more... It makes
this is
maple
controversial.
More brittle.
I don't want to upset anyone.
No, look, the only reason anyone's into baked torrefied maple is because of the look of it. There is like a, I think early on, there was, of course, because Yamaha torrefy their grand pianos in order to make them sound older. And that was something that Billy Sheehan had done on his Attitudes as well. And I think that was kind of the first guitar to do it, but he certainly wasn't having them. I think it was the bodies, not the necks, he was having torrefied. But I thought it was a really interesting point. So, you know, whilst you might, you know, not be into tonewoods, you do seem to have some very specific and, you know, personal opinions on why you'd choose one thing over another.
No, given my my background with timber, I've worked with basically everything through like you see a lot of Wenge or Wenge, whatever you want to call it. All the timber merchants call it Wenge, but all the cool people call it Wenge.
I've always called it Wenge.
Yeah, all the people call it Wenge, but all the timber merchants, you ring them up and they're, "Well, what Wenge, mate?" And you're like,
"Wenge."
That's yeah. But I'm gonna switch over to calling it Wenge now.
Yeah. I used to be a kitchen designer, and there was this fantastic, the best kitchen designer I've ever worked with. He was a CAD master, but also so flamboyant and wonderful with customers. One of the most amazing men I've ever met, Wayne Naylor, and he always used to call it Wenge, not because it was correct and he knew it wasn't, but because it made customers want it more.
Wow! Yeah, so that's
a great way of selling it.
Yeah, there's a lot of exotic woods that in the what I think I had Matt referred to as like the British house style, as in lots of exotic woods, lots of laminations, lots of figure. There's woods that you see there that you don't really see in typical instrument making. So like
in
Paducah and Purple
popular.
Heart and yeah. And yeah, that's true. But yeah, my view on timber is I view it almost in its how it is for me to work with as well, however odd that sounds. So there's certain timbers that are very difficult to work with, and certain timbers that aren't. So a beechy happens to be wonderful to work with because it's incredibly soft, so it machines incredibly easily. That's one of the reasons why we have so much of it in the UK, is because they use it for things like hat blanks, because they can chuck it on a machine, like on a CNC, and it machines like a bit of balsa or well, not quite as soft as balsa, but more like foam or something soft. Right. So the tools last longer. So that's wonderful to work with. And it happens to be obviously incredibly lightweight, and the guitars are, I haven't found many guitars that are as resonant as they are in a beechy when they're unplugged. And people will tell you till the cow comes home that means nothing, but I think it sounds great when you strum an electric guitar unplugged and it sounds loud.
That's something I'm really into.
Yeah.
And it is, you're right, it's a contentious point. Some people kind of say it doesn't really make a difference or doesn't really matter at all, but I'm a strong believer that it should,
and I definitely
it should be reflected regardless of being plugged in or not. And it's one of my reasons for loving Carina. So
yes,
much.
This is a lot like Carina. Yeah, this is
right. Okay,
Avicii is a lot like Carina. Yeah,
sure. Because I was thinking, I don't think I've ever played an Avicii instrument, and I was going to ask, do you know are any of the like, do you know of any bigger brands using it, or yeah?
Yeah, so Shergold used it in the in the 80s, I think, 80s and 90s. PRS started to use it with one of their like mirrors, or MIRA, I think they spell it, Mira.
Mira.
but they didn't gel with it, I don't think. Right. One interesting thing about it, it has a very distinctive smell when it's machined or cut or anything, sanded. And there's a rumor.
What does it smell like?
It smells like ass. It's not quite. It smells like relish, I would say, like burger relish.
Wow. I was reading about it, and it's described as having a quote-unquote deeply unpleasant smell when caught, which makes me think that was not written by a British person.
Yes, so when it's fresh sawn specifically, because it comes from Central Africa, and it just has a noticeable odor. But after you paint it, it takes after about 3 weeks, you won't smell it.
Wow.
And it was quite funny because it came up in the guitar review and people asked me about it. Like, his Richard.
About how the product smelled?
Richard, the lovely man who reviewed the guitar.
At guitar.com.
Yeah, who has since bought one.
He's great.
And he confirmed to me that that does not smell. He did comment that the Obici has an unusual smell, which is so funny. I think
what did he go for, by the way, as his budget? Because I love that man.
Jaguar.
I didn't realize. Same, yeah. Oh, he had the, you said
big
it.
Rich
yeah.
fan.
24 inch with the Descendant and the Stay Trem bridge, and with House of Tone E-type Jaguar pickups.
I see.
Yeah, that was wicked. Nice. Didn't weigh anything either, and that's the reason I focus so much on lightness now, is because I realize since I have the lighter. I will pick up my lightest guitar more than anything else. And I'm not really a snob about how much things weigh, but the light ones, it just feels like you can throw them around a bit more.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely something. So rock and roll, like, to be able to... It feels rock and roll to be able to throw it around. Like, you know, Fidelity, the same. Their guitars are so incredibly lightweight. Even, like, the Gres Mendocino, because they're hollow under on the top panel, it's so light. And that's kind of a new thing to me as someone who's played jazz basses for a lot of my life. They're very heavy. And, like, you know, I've got my Jay Douglas bass, which I play a lot. I really like it. It's that the Jay Douglas is 11 pounds, which is
heavy. That is very heavy.
It's extremely heavy. I actually have one of those weight relief straps like this.
Oh, that goes around your belt as well.
No, not quite.
Is
like
it
that.
A double shoulder?
No. It's a new thing. I can't remember the name of the company that do them. There's like an element of elastication to them that kind of makes it feel less like it's tugging you down, sort of thing. Because it can.
Oh, is it a? It's not one of the comfort straps, is it?
I don't know. Oh. I think I got it. I can't remember where I got it actually, but yeah, I can't remember the brand, but. It's good. It's made a difference. I would like one of those Jack White straps, though. I think maybe the time's come. You know, it used to be I just wanted to throw my guitar in the air and hold it above my head, and I was like, well, I need just a simple strap so I can do that. But now I'm getting to a point where, yeah, I want a strap that looks like a gun holster.
You're a hoister, though, aren't you? Don't you hoist them up well high? They're like
yes, I have to.
You're a high strapper.
It's very annoying for me because as a vegan, obviously I don't want to buy straps with dead animals on the ends. I don't see why the tips of straps have to have that. It seems very stupid. But there aren't that many vegan strap companies. Right On, fantastic strap company. It makes some of the best straps in the world. I think they're really good. On the whole, their straps are too long for me. I got one from James's Hermitone recently, which is just about short enough, and so I can use that. But Right On straps are always very detailed, and whilst that's lovely, and I love to have a strap like that, I have such strict black suit dress code for my band. Oh. I really just need something simple. So I have a Levy
one.
strap. Yeah, I have a Levy strap where I have to fold it. I fold it over, and then I've duct taped around it. To make it even shorter. But I have used ukulele straps in the past as well. They
you really are a short strapper, yeah.
Well, I'm a short guy as well. I'm like 5'8", so when I'm wearing it short, that's also even shorter than a normal thing would be.
But, you dapper vegans are such a specific demographic. I think you need to shout louder to the companies.
I have not, it's such a weird offering. Thing. It's such a weird thing. I can go into, you know, the old man pub at the end of my road in my village, and I can order a Moving Mountains burger, yet the biggest strap companies in the world can't work out how to not put dead cows on the end of my strap. You know, it's a real pet peeve of mine.
I had a look recently. I know Fender are now doing some vegan leather lines, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I think that might be like their...
did you see what they did? It's they do a shell pink vegan leather. Who do you think gave them that?
Who do you think?
J. Cross.
I can take a pretty safe guess on that. But yeah. But then my question is, you know, that's pretty classy. Surely that's your favorite color after black, because you're not quite as dedicated a goth as me. But just
black with sunbursts. That's the only colors.
Sure, but just touching on the bigger companies doing them, I do think it's really nice to see vegan lines move into something as mainstream as Fender's leather strap.
Yeah.
So hopefully more and more companies will follow suit.
Yeah, I really was want looking to play at doing it. And straps. Yeah, because my brother is a bag maker, and I got some samples of like cork leather. And which is basically it's cork as a natural product, laminated onto like a backing, and I haven't got around to trying it yet, but I have the rolls kicking around.
That's interesting. Oh, you said that I have a Votch watch. Votch, obviously the V is vegan. They do like pineapple leather as their straps.
Oh, wow.
And it is very good, very convincing. They're nice quality watches, and you buy the clock face and the strap separately on their website. But they do the pineapple leather is incredibly convincing, very high quality, and you know, nothing dyed. So
smell good?
It's very cool. It doesn't smell a pineapple, which I kind of secretly hoped for, I think, a little bit. But no, it didn't really smell of anything. You know, I just Google image search Abetchi guitars, because I was like, I am sure there have been loads. You know, this
there is now. Everyone's doing it now.
Oh, are they? Well, I tell you, you come up quite a few times just on an image search on Google.
What can I say?
Like, just on Abetchi guitars. I mean, yeah, like you know, there's a lot of I think like it looks like a few people are, maybe Seth Backus has done one.
Seth's new factory ranges in Abetchi.
Oh, that would be why. Yes, yeah, he's come up quite a lot.
And so quite a bunch. Matt's his what are they called, his more affordable ones.
They're light.
They're Abetchi, aren't they? I think
they are. Are they? Are Ann Coates Abetchi? I'm not sure.
Yes,
they are. They've come up as well. So I think so.
Yep.
Oh, it's very popular. Very popular.
It's just. It's honestly great. Like it's just the dream, and it's not expensive. Oh no, I shouldn't have said that. No, everyone will know now.
The world will know. Well,
no, and it comes in, and all the bodies are always two piece, like because the timber is huge, so. The trees are the big trees. They're not like, because maple trees are much smaller. Because again, maple and Abetchi, and most nearly all timber is plantation. So it means it's grown like a farm, basically. So
right.
Commonly misunderstood fact about timber is that it's actually often carbon negative. Like the whole industry, because of the way they run it, actually absorbs more than it puts out, which is good.
Well, that is very good. That's reassuring to hear that something is.
Yeah, so if people think that people just walk into these forests and like pick a big tree and they're like deforest it all, but no, that isn't the way it works.
No, that's very cool. And I think like, you know, mentioning Grez again, I think that Grez do a whole bunch of their stuff is from reclaimed or decommissioned redwood.
Yeah, I love that stuff. It's so cool.
I don't know anything about redwood other than obviously the very gorgeous
giant
top on the Grez. But yeah, I've never really.
Yeah, if it's like the really Californian redwood, it would be the infamous like sequoia trees in.
Oh, I see.
Although I don't know if it's sequoia, but yeah, it's large softwood trees. They're beautiful.
Very cool. Now, that does actually bring us up to time for this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Dear listener, we're going to head over to Patreon with Elliot. Me and Naomi are going to have a crack at talking through our options and designing our own Trent guitars. And we're also going to be talking to Elliot a bit about the other things that he plays, like guitars, amps, pedals, things that he can recommend that maybe you should check out too. And dear listener, you can join us on patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can become a supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, you get this episode ad free and early. At the $5 tier, you get access to our Patreon special episodes and back catalog. And $10 gets you the lot, plus I'll sing you my thanks in a randomly themed song. Find us on all your favorite social media platforms. Join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shabu ke la bu ke Yeah.